Isaiah 9, and we're going to be in verse 6 today. Thank you, Father. We love you and we praise you. You are mighty in our hearts. You are mighty in this place. Thank you for the work that you're doing in this church, the work that you're doing in this congregation, the work that you are doing in our hearts, Lord God, that we are in love with you like never before, that we are growing in relationship with you. We are growing in desire, that you are everything that we want, Lord God, that nothing compares to you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are everything. Agree with me right now that the Most High God, he is everything. Amen? He is everything. He is everything. If we put him first, you know, everything else falls into place. Amen? That doesn't mean that our life is easy. Amen? But when we put him first, the Lord has a way of working those things out, you know, supernaturally, the things that we cannot handle, things that we can't do, the things that we cannot provide for. When we put him first, he makes the crooked places straight. Amen. We serve a good God. So Isaiah 9 and verse 6, we're talking about that best gift this morning, that most precious gift. Amen. I got to tell you, I get an A for effort. I give myself an A for effort. I try really, really hard to get my beloved Rachel Jean the bestest gifts I possibly can, you know, and I try, and it's not for lack of effort, but I'm not really that good at it. You know, I don't get cool stuff. I want to, but that's just not. It's not me. I try really, and she's amazing. She gives me the bestest gifts in the whole wide world and all that stuff. Matter, I remember my very first Christmas with Rachel Jean. We were dating, and we had a lot of love at my home, you know, a lot of love, and we had gifts and all that sort of thing. But anyways, I'm dating this little girl named Rachel, and so I come over to her house, and I was already living on my own. I come over to her house, and we do Christmas morning. I do it with her family, and she gives me, like, so many gifts, and they're all, like, so super thought out. And, like, she'd been doing this, like, undercover research stuff the whole time, like, looking at the things I like and the music and everything. And so she got me these, like, really rad gifts, man. And I'm not saying it's about the gifts, but I'm trying to make a point here. And all day long, man, it's like the never-ending Christmas, man. We'd go places. She's like, here, open one more. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious, man. And each one was better than the last, man. Okay. And she was showing me, you know, hey, I love you. I appreciate you. All that sort of stuff. I'm not that good at that. You know, I want to be, but I'm not that good. Amen. But our Heavenly Father, he's the best gift giver, amen? No one's like him, amen? Matter of fact, he gives us the most precious gift for all eternity, for all mankind. Nothing can compare to that gift. Are y'all with me this morning? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning in Isaiah, that most precious gift, amen? Okay, so we have here, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. That is your Christmas present right there. Amen? Are you excited? It's a boy. It's a boy, amen? Okay, now, unto us. So who's that gift for? It's for all you guys. It's for all of us, past, present, and future. See, our Father in heaven, who gives good gifts, who gives the best gifts, amen, saw the biggest need. Because here's the deal. What's our problem? We got a sin problem, don't we? We got a sin problem, and heaven is a perfect place where the perfect Lord lives, and he can have nothing to do with our sin. But he loves us so much. Let that sink in this morning. I know you heard it a lot, and it's hard to describe the love of the Lord. But look at it like this. He loves you so much that he sent his son. Amen? That he sent his son down on earth so that we could all live for him forever and ever. Amen? Okay, so here's that most precious gift. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. So who's the gift for? It's for us. Amen? There's a sin problem. We can't fix it on our own. Amen? So Jesus Christ wasn't just born in a manger. He didn't just live and teach us a bunch of awesome things. He didn't just teach us how to live a godly life. Amen? He didn't just fulfill the law. But he died for my sins. Amen? So we can be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Is that good news? It really is, and we've heard it so many times. We've heard it since we were little kids, that it doesn't lose its power, but we've just heard it so much that sometimes we're like, what have you done for me lately? No, that is the big thing. Amen. That is the biggest thing. That is the biggest gift. Amen. Are y'all with me so far? Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says this. This is our sin problem here, okay? You're not good enough, okay? You're not cool enough. You can't fix this thing on your own, amen? But God loved you so much, he stepped in and he did something about it, okay? But your iniquities, that's our sins right there, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. That's a problem. All God's people say that's a big problem. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I want to spend eternity in heaven. Amen. The alternative ain't looking so good. Can I get a witness? Okay, but here we go. So we have this problem. God sees the biggest need. So he sends his son. Amen. Merry Christmas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Okay, now let's look at Isaiah 53. You don't have to turn there. Just stay in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 today. Okay, that's where we're going to be. And we're going to just move around a little bit. Okay, but let's look at some of the things that were done for us. Amen, because we need to get excited this morning. Amen, I know everyone's tired. Oh, and by the way, thank you so much for coming. It's horrible, nasty weather. But you guys are really amazing. Really amazing to come out in this nasty weather. To come and worship the Most High God. Go ahead and give yourself a round of applause. Hey, I'm glad you guys are here. Very much so. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. You see that? Isaiah 52 just told me that our iniquities separated us from our God. Okay? That's the big problem right there, because we've all blown it. We've all fallen short. We've all made mistakes. We all have that problem. But see, Jesus Christ did this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And we really do have to get back the joy of our salvation sometimes. You know what I mean? Does that make sense to you guys? Life's kind of hard. Life gets kind of tough. Sometimes we don't feel good. Sometimes, man, my back is killing me, and that'll steal my joy. And all these things can kind of just weigh on you. Amen? And so we forget, or it gets pushed in the back of our mind, that God, the Father, really, really loves you so much. That's a big deal. That's a humongous deal. I mean, countless people, in the past, in the past, present, and future, he loves us. Amen? He loves us with an undying love. Amen? So he paid for my sins. Okay, it's like this. Somebody has to pay for your sins. Either you're going to pay for them, or you accept that gift where Jesus Christ paid for your sins. Amen? So it's a big thing. It's a good thing that Jesus Christ paid for my sins. Amen? So I accept that precious gift. God put his judgment, listen, God put his judgment for your sins on the back of his son. Does that make sense? Does that shed a little light on the subject this morning? Somebody had to pay for our sins. And that person is the God-man, the second man of the Trinity. To us, a child is born. You know what I'm saying? He paid for my sins. Amen? Because he loves you. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Isn't that beautiful? That is an amazing verse right there. He paid for my salvation. And man, we should be able to sing his praises from now until his return just because of that right there. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter, you know, if somebody stole your lunch money, can't find your car keys. I mean, those are problems. And you know, those are problems. But man, we are saved people, right? God paid for my sins when he didn't have to. Amen. But not only that, Brother Dwayne, he says, I want you to have peace. I want you to have peace, real peace. Okay, that's peace of my salvation. I know no one's going to take that away from me because God himself paid for that. No demon can take that away from me. Amen. None can separate me from his love. Okay, I got that peace, but also that peace of mind, those mind battles. Raise your hand if you're really into mind battles. You just love mind battles. You can't get enough of them. Okay. I don't like them either. Well, see, the Lord God sent his son, and he paid for me to have peace of mind, too. Amen? And then there's that physical healing thing. So, are you not blessed this morning? See, now I see why you guys got up in the rain and in the cold to come here, because we were all thinking this morning, as soon as we woke up, we're like, man, I cannot wait to get to church this morning because Jesus Christ died for my sins. He died for me to have peace, and he died for my body, my physical body, to be made whole. Amen. Is that right? Did I get it right? Okay. Well, maybe not. Maybe you come out of obligation. Maybe you come to meet your friends. Maybe you come because it's just the thing you do. I guarantee you, you're here because you love Jesus. There's no denying that, right? But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we get into motions and we lose the joy of our salvation. We lose sight of the fact, man, that something amazing was done for me in a manger a long, long time ago. Amen? Okay. God is good. All the time, God is good. There we go. Okay. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. You see, a son is given. Who is that son? That's speaking of the deity of the Messiah. God himself gave his beloved son. Amen. To us a child is born. That's speaking of the humanity of Jesus Christ, born of a woman, walked in human flesh. So Jesus Christ is 100% man and 100% God. Can someone explain that? That's a tough one, right? But that's what he is. Amen. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the prophecies. Everything ever written about him has come to pass or will come to pass. Amen? So this is our Savior, our Lord and Savior, given to us to fix the sin problem. Keep in mind, the sin problem isn't God's problem. The sin problem isn't the Son of God's problem. They just stepped in out of love to fix our mess. Amen? Is he not wonderful? That's right. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So what we're going through today, this one verse, and this is what Almighty God, Father God says, this is what I want you to know about the Messiah. This is what I want you to know about my son. And the government will be upon his shoulders. Isn't that good? Now what we got going on here, this is speaking of the first and second advent. Okay, now, I scanned my little weary mind last night to think about how much I've talked about the first and second advent of the Messiah. I know we've hit on it a time or two, but let's just talk about it real briefly. Or a long time, it's up to you. Okay, the first advent, that's already happened. That happened in a manger in Bethlehem. Okay. The second advent, let's talk about that for a second. That's going to happen in the future. Amen. That's when Jesus Christ is going to return and rule and reign in the perfect government for all eternity. Are you with me so far? Okay, so that's something we have to look forward to. So we look back and see the first advent where Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, died on a cross and rose from the dead and set up his kingdom where? In all our hearts, right? Okay. Now he's coming back and he's going to rule and reign for all eternity. Man, that's good news. I ain't got nothing but good news today. All right? Nothing but good news, so we can get excited. We can rejoice. Everybody, joy to the world. This is a tough crowd, Miss Rita. It's tough today. I don't know. My goodness gracious. God is good. Tell the truth. Okay. So anyways, now, the disciples, Jesus' disciples, when they're part of Jesus' earthly ministry, they think because of the Old Testament prophecies, and this one also, talking about the Messiah, they think that he is going to come back, that he's going to march into Jerusalem and kick the Romans off the Holy Land and set up his kingdom at that point. That's what they're in for. That's what they're excited about. They're really fired up about that. Okay, well, that's the second advent. Well, how in the world could they get these two situations compiled? What's the problem here? Well, if we read the prophecies, it's real easy to see how you would think it was one continual movement. Does that make sense? Born, set up his kingdom. Okay, it's kind of like when, I didn't make this up, I wish I did, but it helped me understand it. Okay, so hopefully I can do it justice. Okay, it's like when you're driving. Everyone say it's like when you're driving. Okay, good job. And who's ever seen a mountain range? Like actually not in a picture, but seen mountains. Like, okay, oh, look, the pretty mountains. Okay, most of us. Okay, well, I do remember this as a child because mountains were a big thing. You know, I traveled a lot with my father. I was like, oh, man, we're going to be in the mountains tomorrow and get stoked and fired up about. And from a long way off, you'd see the mountains, and it would look like just one mountain at a certain angle. But as the car went around the hill or whatever, you'd see that it was more than one mountain. Does that make sense? So we have the first advent, then a valley, then the second advent. So it looked like it was all compiled together. But see, we have the blessing or the luxury of being able to look back and say, well, that's happened in the past. We're kind of in the valley. Does that make sense? Okay, but this is going to happen in the future. And guess what? It is going to come to pass. There's no denying that, okay? Because when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen, okay? So we can get stoked up and fired up about that, okay? So that's the second advent where he's going to come back and rule. Because, I mean, let's face it. This is a little bit of my opinion that America's pretty much got the best government on the face of the earth. It's not perfect, and it might not be getting any better as far as the big picture goes, as far as society goes and stuff like that, but this was the template. The American government was the template that freedom-loving people across the world would look at and say, I want that over here, you know, so this was kind of the template for freedom-loving people to follow, okay? Sparked revolutions and all that sort of thing. Okay. But let's face it, this government, this society we live in, it's got a lot of problems, right? It's not getting a lot. I mean, think about it like this. Remember when your dad said, oh, man, it's a lot harder now for you kids than it was in my day. Think about it like this. The things that you can see on regular TV now, they didn't have that stuff when I was a kid on regular TV. You had to stay up really, really late at someone's house that had the good cable, I mean the bad cable, whatever, and maybe you might see a little something, something for a second. Now all you got to do is be like, wait for a commercial, that's right. I mean, that's what I'm saying, man, the things they can say on TV, I mean, it's cray-cray, and all those people said it's cray-cray. Word up. It is. So, but see, that's going to change one day. The problem with governments is they're run by people, and people are flawed, right? People get selfish. What's that little phrase? Hold on. Supreme power, absolute power, corrupts absolutely. I think I may have butchered that, but it's okay. Anyways, thank you. Thank you, my brother. You get half off the offering next week. I'm playing. Full price. No, God is good, right? I'm just playing. Y'all know that. Okay. Anyways, God is going to come back. Jesus Christ is going to return and set up a government. And it's going to be amazing. Amen. Now, last night I was studying, and Lord help me, I was so tired, and my mind started to drift a little bit. And I was like, and I'm reading this, and I'm like, huh, I wish I could be around to see that. But see, we are going to be able to see that, man. We're going to be, isn't it awesome? Dude, I was like, that would have been nice to see. Man, we are totally going to be in on that stuff, right? It's going to be an amazing time. But let's talk about the first advent real fast. So Jesus Christ came, born in a manger, born of a virgin, taught us how to live, died and rose from the dead. Amen. And his kingdom now is in our hearts. Amen. So that's the thing. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Okay, so when I say, hey, Big John, hey, Big Steve, can you shoulder this burden? I'm asking you to hold something. Hey, help me with this. It's kind of heavy. Well, see, Jesus wants to shoulder our government, our personal government. You see what I'm saying? He wants to be in charge of your life. Right here, right now, okay? He wants to rule and reign in our hearts. And you're like, hey, man, save all that, man. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 8 years old. It's written in the front of my Bible. I know I was there. Okay, cool. But see, sometimes a lot of the time, we do not let him rule and reign. We get in this tug and war back and forth where he wants to... He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He wants to mature us. But we get selfish, right? Because we're flawed people. Amen. We're not perfect. We've accepted a perfect gift. Amen. We accepted that perfect gift, that child. We accept him. Okay. But he says, I want to rule and reign, man. I want to be in charge of your government right here, right now. Amen. I want to bless you, man. Okay. So that's what we're talking about right now. That's where we're at. See, and if we want to be blessed, we got to step down, don't we? We got to resign as the chairman of the board of our little hearts, right? Right? Everyone say, there's a new sheriff in town. There he is. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth, right? Everyone say, whoop, there it is. Amen. He wants to be in charge of us, amen? And he deserves it. He is worthy of our praise, amen? This is... The second advent, and the Apostle Paul was stoked up and fired up about it, saying he can't wait. And we need to be excited about it as well, amen? Titus 2:13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's going to be a good day, ain't it? Revelation 11, talking about that as well. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. It's all God's. It's all God's, but he's going to come back and take what's his. Amen? So let's face it, we're not doing that good of a job at it, are we? The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's awesome. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. So I was reading this last night. I kind of got a little fired up about that, you know. I was like, man, I can't wait for that. Man, that's going to be awesome. All God's people said, that's going to be awesome. Amen. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Talk about what Jesus wants to do in our hearts with this personal government. Are y'all with me so far? Is this making sense? Isaiah 40 and verse 11. This is the kind of leader our Lord and Savior is. Amen. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? That's right. There you go. Yep, that's good. I agree with all that. Not that it matters, but I mean, that's right on, man. He loves you, he guides you, he leads you, he protects you, he corrects you. all these things. He's a loving, loving shepherd. Amen. Now, it paints a beautiful picture here. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. You know, that good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. We have a good shepherd who did lay down his life for us. Amen. Okay. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. Isn't that precious? Can y'all picture that right now? Jesus carrying you, keeping you close to his heart. Like how you hold a little baby that's not yours and you're like, ooh, someone take this baby from me. This isn't my baby. I shouldn't be holding this baby. No, I'm playing. All the men know what I'm talking about. You won't admit it, but you know what I'm talking about. All babies are beautiful. All the babies in this church are beautiful. All God's people said amen. That's not what he's talking about, though. He's talking about, you know, just holding you so close and giving you peace, right? When does a baby feel so calm no matter what's going on? When the mama or the papa holds them and comforts them. Everything's going to be all right. I remember as a child, I remember freaking out. A little kid, I must have been sick or something. I don't remember, but I remember, like, just screaming for a long time, crying. And my father grabbing me and saying, what's wrong with you? No. Shut your mouth. No, he didn't do that. God is good. Everybody cool? Okay. Now, I remember him holding me and walking me down the hall and saying, hey, look out the window. Look. He was comforting me. He was giving me peace. You see what I'm saying? That's what the Lord does for us. This is the kind of leader he wants to be in our lives and in our hearts. Amen. He wants to take care of us. He wants to give us peace. Amen. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So it doesn't matter what you got going on in your life. It doesn't. Okay, if you got a bunch of kids, you know what I mean? You can't keep up with everybody. You know, you're on a trip, you're on a journey. Guess what? You got extra stuff you got to take care of, right? Do I got the baba? Do I got the wipes? Do I got the diapers? Whatever. Hey, Junior, walk with me. You got all these extra things that you got to take care of. But the Lord's like, hey, man, it's cool. You're with me. I got you. I'm your leader. I'm your shepherd. Okay? You don't have to worry about a thing. Amen? You're under my protection. You're under my umbrella. I'm not leaving you behind. Amen? All right. Peace out, brother. Amen. Okay. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I like that part. I like that part a lot. It's not his name is wonderful. Remember that song? His name is wonderful. That's good and that's true. This is like a couplet thing. A couplet. This wonderful is saying, this is the kind of counselor he is. He's the wonderful counselor. See, this is the best gift. Dad gives the best gifts. Everyone say that. Dad gives the best gifts. He does. Paul doesn't, but our Heavenly Father does. He gives the best gifts. He gives us that wonderful counselor. Amen. Now, here's the thing about this wonderful counselor. When you say wonderful, we think of like, okay, let me say, Donnie, I think you're wonderful. And I mean that, sure. We would think that means like great, right? Cool, great, awesome. Well, see, this translation, this wonderful, means something different than that. It means miraculous. So this means miraculous counselor. Think about that. Okay. Our counselor, okay, can do things that nobody else can do. Amen? Supernatural counsel. He tells us things, amen, that may seem kind of counterintuitive. He may tell us things and counsel us in ways that we're like, oh, that doesn't really make much sense. But if we do them, if we're obedient to them, we see how amazingly blessed we are by being obedient to this counsel. You know what I mean? Like, turn the other cheek, forgiveness and stuff like that. Hey, man, I don't know about you. I don't like forgiving people. That's not my strong suit, man. I don't have a CD collection about to come out, Paul's Four Steps to Forgiveness. You know what I mean? Amen. Well, I can tell you how to do it, and we have to do it, and I have to do it. We all have to do it. Everyone say we have to do it. But see, that's what I'm talking about. That's that supernatural counseling. That's the kind of counsel we get from our Lord. You know what I mean? Hey, it doesn't sound right, but guess what? It is right, and when I do it, I'm blessed in every area of my life. Amen? Y'all with me so far? Man, it is really coming down out there. Thank you, Lord. What does a counselor do? He listens and he advises. But see, the Lord expects us to act on that advice or that counsel that he gives us. Y'all know that? We have to embrace that information he gives us. Well, Paul, where does this information come from? Well, we're kind of doing it right now, right? But also when we read the scripture, he speaks to me. Now, don't get me wrong, man. I believe and I know for a fact, and I'm sure you guys too, that the Lord can download something into your spirit when you're hanging out with him. You know, because he does it to me. But really, most of the time when he does that to me is when I'm in a counseling session with him. Does that make sense? Probably not. When I'm reading the Bible, when I'm spending time with him, he can show me something in the Word, but also he can speak to my spirit too. You know, and you know, you've probably, if you settle down and listen to that still small voice when you're hanging out with him, he'll talk with you. Amen? So he wants to give you counsel. Amen? And it's counseling you cannot get any other place. Amen? Everyone say Muhammad ain't going to hook you up with counseling like that. He ain't, man. He ain't. We have that miraculous counselor. And he listens to us. Now, that ought to make some of us feel good right there. Some of us are like, hey, no one ever listens to a word I say. I got good things to say. I got important stuff to say. And nobody ever wants to hear me. When I'm hanging out with people and I want to talk about what's important to me, they interrupt me. Well, God wants to listen to you. Amen. And let's be honest, sometimes church folk, Christian folk are really, really good at not listening to people because we want to bless everybody with how smart we are and the knowledge we have and bless God, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, well, man, sometimes we need to listen to people and see what's going on. You know what I mean? Sometimes people just need to be heard a little bit, right? Can I get a witness? Okay. I'm sorry. I ain't trying to make no one mad. That's right, my brother. That's good. So he listens to us. That is good, Dwayne. He listens to us. And he gives us counsel. But are we talking to him? You guys talk to the Lord a lot? He listens to us. He gives us counsel. And he expects us to embrace this counsel and walk in it. Amen? Y'all with me? You know, say I want to lose weight, and maybe I do, maybe I don't. As the new year's coming up, you know, a lot of us are going to be like coming up with, what do you call them things? Resolutions? No, I call them Fritos. New Year's resolutions, yes. Okay, well, say you want to lose some weight or whatever. You want to start exercising. You know what I mean? It's not good enough to say, hey, I need to do this. You know what I mean? It's not good enough just to listen to the counselor. You know what I mean? That's a start. Because we can understand the concept of, hey, I need to lose some weight. But in any 12-stepper will tell you, I'm not knocking the 12-step programs, but the first step is identifying you got a problem, right? Okay? So that's cool. We listen to the counselor. We diagnose the problem. Hey, I want to lose weight, whatever. And I can go buy the special cookbooks and get the special diet foods and all that stuff. But that's not going to change anything either, is it? See, I can buy a Bible, and I can keep it on the bookshelf or the coffee table. That's not going to do much. And I can come to church once in a while. And that's good. That's good. We should all come to church. And maybe I can, you know, watch what I eat maybe once or twice a week. That's not going to do much for me, is it? I have to, it has to be a lifestyle change, right? If I want to eat healthy, if I want to be healthy, if I want to lose weight, I want to get strong and be able to be on American Ninja. What is that show where you run and jump and... American Warrior, Ninja, whatever. You want to do that? Yeah, it's not going to happen just sitting there watching TV, watching the people on it. I ain't going to do it. That's the channel changer. Remote control. That's not going to do it, man. You have to embrace it. You have to go all in, right? So we have access to this wonderful counsel if we belong to the Lord Jesus. And he wants to fix our lives, right? He wants to change some things in our life. But can we call him our wonderful counselor? That's what I'm trying to say. Can we really call him our wonderful counselor? Are we taking his advice, and are we embracing it, and are we applying it to our lives? Amen? Give him some praise. Amen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. I almost skipped that one. Mighty God. The one true God. That's our God. Amen. Not Buddha, not Allah, not Hare Krishna. Those are all fake deities. Those are all idols. And behind those idols that those people pray to, there's demons behind that stuff. Now, I don't want to freak nobody out, but that's just what it is. You know, if you got family members that do that or whatever, you know, pray for them. Use wisdom in how you tell them. But they ain't there's not a bunch of, hey, baby, QQ. There's not a bunch of gods floating around out there, and you just pick the one that is indigenous to where you grew up at. That ain't how it works. In this part of the woods, we worship the sun. We worship the turtle. No. No, man, that's a waste of time, dude. A turtle ain't going to do nothing for you. Oh, powerful turtle. Whatever, dude. Turtle soup. There's only one true God. Mighty God. That's our God. He belongs to you. You belong to him. God gave himself to you. God laid down his life. Amen? Excited? Maybe. Maybe not. Okay. Let me say it like this. God in heaven loves you so much, sent his son, died on a cross, rose from the dead. God's Holy Spirit, Christ's Holy Spirit, indwells all believers. You're never alone. You're never alone. He is that steady, constant help. No matter what you're going through, he's right there with you. Amen. Remember David said it, and I got to paraphrase it because I haven't completely memorized it perfectly, but David said, if my father and my mother forsake me, you never will. You know, mom and daddy, they might pass away. Chances are they will pass away before you do. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But no matter who comes in and out of your life, God will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be there for you. And it's not some fake little God. It's not something that, you know, like the turtle or the sun or the moon or some demon. This is God. God the Father is with you. Amen. Big news. It's big news. Okay. Remember what the angel told Joseph? Talked about it last week. Joseph was going through the thing, you know, hey, Mary's pregnant, what am I going to do? I got a big problem here. The angel came to give him peace. Matthew 1 and verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's impossible, by the way, for a virgin to conceive, unless it's God, right? Okay, so our God does the impossible. So get excited about that. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. So wonderful counselor, mighty God, big God, Sovereign God, Father God, is with you. You're never alone. He's our help in all we go through. Amen. Let's keep it moving. Keep it moving. Y'all are getting tired. I can tell. Mighty God, everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. That's a good one. Some of us never knew a father's love. You know, we talked about earlier, people are flawed, right? People are flawed. People are selfish. That's you. That's me. I'm a dad. I'm probably the best, without a doubt, the best dad in here. No, I'm playing. I am playing. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. But see, you got to do that sometimes because everyone, let's be honest, everybody's getting tired. Your minds are starting to wander a little bit. You're like, geez, this is getting kind of long. Whew. And then I say that, and you're like, did he just say that? I did, but I didn't mean it. Okay. Amen. We're flawed people, okay? There's no perfect fathers in here. We try. We do the best we can. Listen, ma'am, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest. I do things out of anger sometimes, and I feel bad about that. My children experience that. Sometimes I correct them when I shouldn't correct them because I get angry or I get frustrated. You see what I'm saying? That's how we are as parents. We try to do our best, but we're not perfect. But see, God says, this is what I want you, listen. God said, this is what I want you to know about my son who I'm sending down here to die for your sins and he's going to raise from the dead, okay? That he's going to be your wonderful counselor. He's got the best advice for you. I want you to take him up on that advice and apply it to your life so you'll be blessed. And this is the mighty God here, okay? So if you ever wonder, okay, is Jesus God? God himself is saying, my son is God, okay? Mighty God, all the authority, all the power of heaven has been given to the son. You know St. Nick? We'll talk about that later. Never mind. Scratch that. Never mind. That's good. We'll talk about it later, though. What are we talking about? Mighty God, everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. We have a Father that will never leave you or forsake you. Doesn't matter if you clean your room or not. Okay. Well, I thought we were talking about the child. I thought we were talking about the Son of God. We are. But see, the Son of God shows us the Father. God the Father is saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. When you see him, you see my attributes. Okay, you want to understand me more? Read the Gospels. Read about my son because that's me. You see what I'm saying? So one of the things that Jesus Christ does for us, that awesome gift, is he shows us the love of the Father. Amen. So when it says mighty God, we can know mighty God because he wants to be intimate with me. He wants to care about me. He cares for all of his children. Amen? Are y'all with me? Okay, I can back that up. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. This is a good verse, man. You want to write this down as a reference? You want to get this tattooed? John will pay for it. And John will give you the tattoo himself. Okay, enough fun and games, guys. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature. So if you want to know God the Father, just look at Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the perfect imprint. It's like this. We resemble our father. Some more than others, right? Some more than others. Paul Jr. resembles me somewhat. He used to really resemble me. Now everyone says he looks like the other part of the family or whatever. I don't know about that. He's still my boy, and he still looks like me as far as I'm concerned. But anyways, what I'm saying is we resemble our father, right? In nature, sometimes, right? in how we look. So when we see Jesus Christ, we see that imprint of the Father. We see the Father. We can know the Father. See, you're not going to know everything about God the Father. His ways are above our ways. Our little finite capability to understand things and grasp things, that all God cannot fit in your noodle. It would just explode. Our heads would be, it's science. You know, your head would just be like bigger than this building. And we look weird. Here now, we're not going to know everything about God the Father. But what God wants to be revealed about himself, we can see through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? All right, God is good. Amen. Okay, I love you guys. John 10:30. I and the Father are one. John 14:9. Whoever has seen me, talking about Jesus, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Amen. Everlasting Father. Whether your Father was there for you or not, we all know that our fathers weren't perfect. We're not perfect parents, but we have a loving Father who isn't going anywhere in heaven. Are y'all with me? Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's a good one right there. We talked about peace last week, so we don't have to talk about this too long. All God's people said amen. All right. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is what we get. This is one of our Christmas presents we get from the Most High God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he has peace for me. There's that peace of my salvation, and that's really awesome. That's really amazing that I know in my heart, because sometimes we don't feel very Christian-y, right? Does that make sense? Nobody, just me maybe? Sometimes you feel like, I'm not like really rocking the Christian servant thing right now today. Sometimes we have bad days. But guess what? We still have an everlasting Father. And we can still have that peace of our salvation once I've given myself to him. Does that make sense? Like I said, you're not perfect. You accept a perfect gift. Amen. Okay. Talking about that peace of my salvation. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. My faith in him. I'm justified. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? God's judgment is not going to come on me. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesus Christ paid for that already. Amen. Good news. All God's people say good news. Peace. Prince of Peace. Not just the guy who's kind of peaceful, not just the so-so peace, Prince of Peace, big-time peace. That's what he has for us. Because we're his, amen? Because I belong to him. Because a son is born, a child is given, a child is, amen, praise the Lord. Luke 2 and 14, this is what the angels told the shepherds. Well, here's the deal. Here's the skinny. Here's the 411. The shepherds were out doing their thing at nighttime. Then the angel appeared, and that was crazy, and that freaked everybody out. And the angel told them about the birth of the Messiah taking place in Bethlehem. This night a Savior's born. And then all these angels appear. One of the most amazing parts of the Christmas story. Luke 2 and verse 14, this is what the angels said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, who's he pleased with? His kids. If we belong to him, doesn't mean you're perfect. And it doesn't mean we can't mess ourselves up sometimes by not being obedient. Does that make sense? Let me explain it to you like this. Psalms 147 and verse 11. Listen. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. So if I belong to him, he takes pleasure in me. I'm his sheep and he loves me and he holds me close to him. And he has peace for me. Amen. So I can run to him day or night because he's my everlasting father. I can take his counsel because he loves me and I can apply it to my life and be blessed. And no matter what I'm going through, no matter what situation I find myself in, because I'm his, because he loves me, because I'm his child, he has peace for me. Does that make sense? Do y'all love Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. You are an awesome God. You are the only God. We thank you so much for that wonderful gift you've given us. We thank you for everything you've done in our